Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma, daf Peches. It's the final daf today of the Masechta. We are finishing up the eighth parak of Yuma, and consequently, the entire Masechta of Yuma. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. The daf is being learned. L'zecher Nishmas Lo Zaltzman Lupin. The Gemara that we are been doing for the past couple of days has been a Gemara about Tshuva. Tshuva is an integral part of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day of Tahara, a day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechaper and metar for all of our averos. And so part of the personal tshuva that we do every Yom Kippur is that we are mizvada, we confess our sins to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we make real intent to change, and as a result of that we do what's called tshuva. We have been discussing tshuva the past couple of days. The Mishnah discusses how tshuva works. The Mishnah gave us different degrees of averos, and based on the various levels of averos, so tshuva can either work by itself or it works in conjunction with something else. And we talked yesterday about the Braitha, Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael broke up tshuva into three separate components, into three different categories, and categorically, based on the degree of the averos, so tshuva works in conjunction. Okay, we're behind. We're down. We're back on Daf Pei Zayin. We're going to be on Pei Zayin Amidalf. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. It's good that the Masechta afforded us an opportunity to catch up. I always appreciate when the Masechta does that. Helps me out. We are on the top of the Amud. Yeah. Okay. We talked about the children. You're right. Right, we talked about Nadav and Aviv yesterday. Sorry, just getting my bearings. We talked about the Nosarim. Okay. Oh, we talked about Canaan. Okay. Kol Mizakeh Sarabim. Perfect. Okay, Pezayin Amad Aleph. It is the last narrow line of the Amud. And we begin. So you present as chus for the public. So you're going to be in good shape. You'll be protected. On the other hand, if you cause others to sin, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't afford you the opportunity to do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away your ability to do tshuva. I encourage you to take a look at the sixth parak of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam discusses this idea, and he points out that historically, people have been stripped away of the opportunity to do tshuva. He describes it regarding Paro, and take a look at the sixth parak of tshuva where he discusses this idea. If you cause others to do well, so that means that you're going to get a ticket to Gan Eden, because the Gemara says it's just not right, it's not appropriate that your Talmidim are going to be in Gan Eden, and you're not going to be in Gan Eden. You have to be together with the Talmidim. So Shinamar Kilosov Nashilosholos, he ten chastechal or shachas, Vachal Machis Rabbim, him must make me Allah Shuva. On the other hand, if you cause others to do sin and you do tshuva, that's not going to help you, because again, it's the same basic idea. Because you can't be away from your Talmidim. Your Talmidim over here, obviously not in the positive sense. Talmidim over here meaning those you influenced poorly, so they're going to be in Gehenna and you're going to be in Gan Eden. That's just simply not right. Not to be supported. So the Rebbe's going to find himself with his Talmidim. Okay, the Mishnah says the strategy, a very poor strategy would be to sin and then simply say, I'll do tshuva afterwards. I have it. Not a problem. So the Mishnah says that's extraordinarily poor strategy, and the Mishnah says it won't work. So the Gemara is just bothered by the Lashon HaMishnah. The Mishnah says, Echtev Ashuv, Echtev Ashuv. Okay, well, the Mishnah could have made the point, but just simply by saying it one time. Why twice? Lama Lamemer, Echtev Ashuv, Echtev Ashuv, Shrei Zimnikid Rav Huna. So the Gemara quotes Rav Huna. This is the second time we're seeing Rav Huna in the past couple of days. I'm Rav Huna, Kevin Shavar Adam Aver Vishanabo, Hutralo. You do an aver, you do it twice, so it becomes mutter. And again, the Gemara objects to the language. Hutralo, what does that mean? Really? It becomes mutter? Sakadacha ela nasis loke heter. No. For you, personally, it seems now like it's heter. Meaning that when you do the aver the first time, so you're going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be, I'm doing something that is violating the Torah. So it's going to make it uncomfortable. But once you do it repeatedly, so then it becomes normal, it becomes natural, and you become totally comfortable with it. It doesn't seem like you're doing anything wrong. Echtav Yom Kippur Mechoper Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper. The Mishnah says another strategy that's not good is you'll sin and you'll say, it's okay, Yom Kippur is right around the corner, I'll be fine. Yom Kippur will provide me the Kapar and the Tahara so that I could start fresh, and it's okay, so that'll be my game plan. So the Mishnah once again said that's not a good game plan. So, Lema Masnisin Delo Karebi. The Gemara says, look, let's go back and revisit the Shita of Rebbe. This is the second time we're going over the Shita of Rebbe. Rebbe has a very interesting opinion. One I told you was very difficult to understand, but understanding aside, Rebbe says to Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Alkola Visha Batara, Beinase Chuva, Beinlasa Chuva, Yom Kippur, Mechaper. Yom Kippur provides a kapara even for those people who decide not to do Chuva on Yom Kippur. That's the opinion of Rebbe. So, the Gemara says, so if that's true, so what's wrong with his game plan? His game plan is, I'll do an Avera and Yom Kippur will be Mechaper. According to Rebbe, Yom Kippur by itself serves as a kapara. And you don't even need Tshuva on Yom Kippur. So what's wrong? What's the problem? According to Rebbe, shouldn't it work? So the Gemara says, Afilu Tamer Rebbe, Agav Shani. So the Gemara's answer is no. Even according to Rebbe, it won't work. Yes, Yom Kippur serves as a kapara. Yes, Yom Kippur doesn't need Tshuva. But Yom Kippur serves as a kapara for sins that you do, not with any plan or intent. Yom Kippur serves as a kapara just simply organically. But if you do a chet, this is the Gemara's suggestion, if you do a chet so that Yom Kippur will be mechaper, even Rebbe will agree, Yom Kippur will do nothing for you, Yom Kippur will not help you. Aver shebenam lamakum v'chulei, ramele Rebbe Yosef bar havel Rebbe Abau, aver shebenam l'chaveru ein Yom Kippur mechaper v'aksiv. So the Gemara, the Mishnah made a very basic distinction between averos, between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, versus averos between you and your fellow man. The Mishnah says, averos between you and Hashem, it's between you and God. You ask for forgiveness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants it. Again, you do tshuva, good. But averos between you and another person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to listen to you, says the Mishnah, until you appease the other person. Good. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's turn to the psukim in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. In Sefer Shmuel, the Torah says, the Navi says, that if a person sins against his fellow, so what does he do? He davens to Hashem. That's the psukim in Shmuel. Sounds not like our Mishnah. So man Elokim dayana. So the Gemara says that when the Navi says the word Elokim, so the assumption that we made is he prays to Hashem. Gemara says, no, that's not what the pshat is. Elokim over here means dayanim. Meaning if you wrong somebody, let's talk financially. If you financially wrong somebody, so what you do is, you go to court, court finds you guilty, you pay the money, meaning that's the pshat in the Navi. The Gemara says, okay, but let's read on. Go ahead further in the Pasuk and Shmuel. So, v'im l'Hashem yechte, ish mi'ispah l'olam. But if you sin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so who's gonna pray on your behalf? So, if you put the first and second parts of the psukim together, it sounds like we were contrasting Hashem to Hashem. Meaning, bein adam l'chavero, you just pray to Hashem. If it's bein adam l'makom, it's between you and Hashem. But it doesn't sound like the pshat that the Gemara just offered. Hachikama, the Gemara says, okay, let's say a slightly modified pshat. Im yechte ish leish upilo elokim yimchol. So now what we're going to do is we're just going to insert a comma in the Navi. So the pasuk reads like this. If a person sins against another and appeases him, meaning the other person, Elokim yimchalo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you. Okay, that's a new pshat in the pasuk. V'yim la'Hashem yecheteh, ish mi'ispal ba'ado. So, but if you sin to Hashem, so nobody else can help you over there. That's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then what do you do? Tshuva masim tovim. So you get involved in tshuva and you do good actions, and that's how you seek forgiveness. Okay, so we had a problematic pasuk in the Navi, in Shmuel, and the Gemara just gave a pshat. Amar Rav Yitzchak, kol amaktis chaver afilo bedvarim tzarech lefaisa. You offend your friend, and it's not a financial debate, it's just words. Okay, and you offend him, so tzarech lefaisa, you got to go over there, you got to appease him, you got to make reconciliation. If you hurt somebody with the imre ficha, with the words of your mouth, so you must do something in order to be saved. Now the end of the pasuk describes what you should do to appease, and the Gemara now is going to take those last. A couple of several words of that pasuk in Mishlei, and basically break it up into two different solutions. Im mamon yesh biyadcha. So let's say the offense between you and your friend is a financial offense, right? You damage something of his, you owe him money, whatever the case is, you owe him financially money. So the Gemara says yesh biyadcha hater lecha hater lo pisas yad, and that's the pshan, the pasuk in Mishle hisra peis. Hisra peis. The Gemara kind of right hater pisas yad. Open up your hand. In other words, simply put, reimburse them. V'im lav, but if it's not a financial issue, and it's just dvarim, and the words, and you offended him with your words, so harbe alav re'im. Harbe alav re'im. That's the last part of the pasuk of the rahav re'echa. Meaning, speak on your behalf, have others speak on your behalf, entreat him, appease him, try to make conciliation. Now, in terms of appeasement, so get rows of people, three rows of three people to go over him, to appease him. It's reminiscent of, the Gemara doesn't make this connection, but reminiscent of Yaakov and Esav. When Yaakov finally comes back to Esav, and he sends him rows and rows of gifts to appease Esav. So the Gemara over here says, basically, have others speak on your behalf. Shenamar Yashur al Anashim. The word Yashur over here, the Gemara understands from the word Shura, rows of people. V'yomer Chatas v'Yashur Hevitiv lo Shavali. Rav Yosef Rav Chinen. I'm sorry. Am Rav Yosef Rav Chinen Kol Mavakesh Matam Mechaver Ali Mavakesh B'Meni Yosef Mishalosh Pamim. You're asking for forgiveness from somebody, so you ask them three times. Now, right, just a little bit of common sense. They're not three times right in a row. Will you forgive me? Can you please forgive me? But in other words, on three different occasions, you go over to him, you entreat him, you try to pacify him, you ask three times. But that's it. You don't need to ask more than three times. Shenamar ana sana v'atas sana. Right, you see the word na. Na is an entreatment. It's appeasement. So and it's mentioned in the pasuk three times. Now the imes. Now, let's say you offended a person. You had to ask for his forgiveness. You weren't afforded the opportunity. He's dead. Now what do? So you assemble together 10 people, you go to his kever v'omer. And you make an admission that I hurt him, that I harmed him. And somehow, I'm not sure how this works, obviously, but somehow that works. Okay, and here we go. A number of stories where you're going to see that the Amorayim were human. And they got occasionally on each other's nerves, and they offended one another. Now, the Gemara doesn't give us much of the backdrop to the story. The Gemara just simply tells us the point of appeasement and what was done for the actual appeasement. But okay, that's, again, the Gemara over here is making one very singular point, and that is the point of trying to entreat another person and trying to make good with another person. So we don't have the background, but we do have one sliver of the story, of the incident. Rav Yirmiyah Hanvele Milsel Rabbi Abba. So Rav Yirmiyah had a beef. He had a problem with Rabbi Abba. Bahadei. Azal Esev Adasha de Rabbi Abba. So now he stood at the entrance of Rabbi Abba. Okay, let's flip it around. I was wrong. Rabbi Abba had a beef with Rav Yirmiyah. Okay, that's fine. So anyway, so Rabbi Abba is now at the front door, and he's going to try to make. Rabbi Yirmiyah. Okay. I'm in the middle of confusion, but Rabbi Yirmiyah is at the front door of Rabbi Abba, and he's trying to make amends with Rabbi Abba. V'hadei d'shadya amta maya. So now the maidservant of Rabbi Abba was basically taking out the trash. In this case, trash over here meaning the water, probably latrine water. Okay, and mata zarzufe de maya areshe. And while Rav Yirmiyah was in the front of the house trying to make good and make conciliation, so the water fell right on his head. Amra asuni kashpa. So he's like, okay, I'm a pile of garbage. I'm a heap. Kara nafshe mashpasi rim of yon. And so, speaking about his state, he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. Shama Rabbi Abba v'nafik la'ape. So Rabbi Abba now was inside the house, and he heard what happened, and Rabbi Yirmiyah was outside, and he was trying to make amends. And so Rabbi Abba comes running out. So Rabbi Abba says, now everything is turned around. Meaning you are trying to entreat me, but now the truth of the matter is that my maidservant poured basically wastewater on your head. Now I have to ask you for forgiveness. When we go back to the Pasuk of Mishlei, Lech Yisra Peis V'Avrecha. Another story. Rabbi Zera Kavale Milsaba De'inish. Rabbi Zera. So when he had some sort of grievance with another person, Havachala V'Tani Lekamei. So what he would do is he would make sure that to be available. You know, I just speak a little bit about human nature, right? Obviously, I'm speaking personally, but I think it's generally we're all wired this way, is that when you have a grievance with somebody, you want to avoid him. You don't want to deal with him. You don't want to speak to him. You'd rather avoid him. So what the Gemara says, you got to fight that. That's an urge you got to fight. And the Gemara says that, in fact, Rabbi Zera would make sure that he would be available. So have it to midate, so that in the event that he sees him and there could be reconciliation, so he tries to fight the nature of wanting to avoid another person when they're not good with one another. Rav Avalei Milsa Ba'adehu Tabacha. Now Rav had a certain grievance with a butcher. Again, Gemara gives us no backdrop. Whatever the issue was, they had a problem with one another. So the butcher didn't go to Rav. So apparently the butcher had to make an apology to Rav, and the butcher wouldn't go to Rav. So Rav says on Yom Kippur, you know what? I'll go to him. So he goes to him now in Erev Yom Kippur. It's the appropriate time. Right, Yom Kippur, we want the tshuva, but again, Beinam L'Chavero, you first need to be Mephayes. So Rav goes to the butcher. So Paga Be Rav Huna, now he meets up with his Talmud. Rav Huna was a student of Rav. And Amar Le Lecha Kazan, he says to him, where are you going? Mar Amar Le Lefusa L'Panaya. So he says, look, me and the butcher, we're at odds with one another, and I'm going to seek conciliation. So I'm going to go to the butcher. Amar Azul Abba L'Milktel Nafsha. So Rav Huna says this is not going to end well. Now, how does Rav Huna know this? Look, it's his Rebbe. He knows his Rebbe. He says this is not going to end well. In fact, Rav Huna prognosticates, he predicts that Rav is going to end up killing this butcher. Okay. So he goes to him. And what the butcher was doing was he was cutting up the bones, literally the skull of an animal. There he is, a butcher. So Dali Eina V'Chazyei. So he lifts up his eyes and he sees him. So the butcher sees Rav. Amalei Abba At. So he says to him, you're Abba. Rav's name was Abba. So he calls him by name. So Abba At Zil Leis Li Milsa Bahadech. So he says, go, because I don't want to deal with you. In other words, so Rav made himself available for the purposes of conciliation. The butcher owed Rav an apology for whatever reason. And the butcher, he went to go see the butcher. And the butcher basically said, no, no interest. No interest in apologies. So, Behadid Kapali Reshe. So now, as the butcher was cutting the skull of the animal, Ishtami Garma, so a bone, kind of was an awkward cut, and a bone chip slipped out from the skull. Umachye Bekoe hit the butcher right in the throat, the katle, and killed the butcher. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu was not happy with the butcher's the response to Ravin. Kadosh Baruch Hu met his punishment. Yeah. Rav Ava Pasuk Sidra Kama de Rebbe. Rav was saying Chumash in front of Rebbe. Rav was a student of Rebbe. Rav was living in Eretz Yisrael. And he was a student of Rebbe, and his uncle was Rebbe Chia, and he was the mark-off point between what we would call the Tanaim versus the Amoraim. So, but Rav was that connector. In fact, the Gemara sometimes says that Rav can have the status sometimes of a Tana, he can argue with Tanaim, but okay. So Rav was saying Chumash in front of Rebbe. Ayol, also Rebbe Chia. So now Rebbe Chia comes in. Rebbe Chia is his uncle. So, he likes Rebbe Chia, right? So what does Rav do? Starts from the beginning. Okay, I'm sorry you're late. I'll start again from the beginning. Ha'asa Rabbi Chia Hadal Reisha. Ayol Bar Kapara. In comes Bar Kapara. Hadal Reisha. And Rav says, you know what? Good. You're here. Let's start again from the beginning. Okay. So in other words, for all the latecomers. Morning. So for all the latecomers, so he would start again. But only for those he liked. Okay. So, Asa Bar Kapara Hadal Reisha, Asa Rabbi Shimon Barabi. So in comes Rabbi Shimon Barabi, the son of Rabbi, Hadalareshim. Once again, he started again. Asa Rabbi Chanina Barchama. So Amar Kule Hai Nedav Enezel Lo Hadar. So he says, enough already. I'm not going to go back again. I've repeated myself enough times already. So Ikvid Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chanina, understandably, gets angry. And Rabbi Chanina is basically looking around the room. You start again for him, and you start again for him, and you start again for him, and what's wrong with me? Also, Rav Lagabe Tleser Malay Yom De Kippur V'Loi Fayis. So Rav realizes that he offended Rabbi Chanina and Rav on 13 consecutive Yom Kippurs. Went over to Rabbi Chanina and asked for forgiveness. So the Gemara says, okay, but didn't we just say 10 minutes ago in the Daf that you maxed out at three times? He asked forgiveness three times. He doesn't give you forgiveness three times. You have no obligation anymore to go over and ask for forgiveness. And over here, Rav is going 10 times over the limit in order to ask for forgiveness. So you could just simply say that, okay, the three is a, you know, it's like a lichat chila din. But okay, but still, you should try. So the Gemara says, Rav Shani. So the Gemara gives an answer. Now, the answer of the Gemara is slightly unclear. The Gemara gives a very short, punctuated answer. And Rashi says, Rav Shani, machmer hayala atzmi, was machmer in himself. Now, that could be one possibility. Another possibility of the Gemara is that Rav Shani, is that Rav over here, not a reference to Rav, even though that's a confusing part of this answer. Because the story happens to deal with Rav. So the Gemara says, Rav Shani, and Rashi says that's meaning Rav, meaning this case, Rav is being machmer himself. But another way to understand the Gemara is that it's his Rebbe. And it should be different for your Rebbe. Meaning, being Adam Lachaver, or generally speaking, when it comes to human relations, three times. But if it's your Rebbe, you got to try harder. Okay, that's another possibility. But either way, now the Gemara turns its attention to Rabbi Chanina. I mean, okay, fine. So Rav asked for 13 consecutive Yom Kippurs for forgiveness. He didn't receive it. And why did he go over the limit of three? So the Gemara gives an answer. But now we turn our attention to Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina, when someone asks you for forgiveness, your answer should be immediately, I forgive. You shouldn't hold a grudge. I mean, aside from the fact that the Torah says you shouldn't bear a grudge. But in terms of accepting forgiveness right away. So what's Rabbi Chanina doing? So Ella Rabbi Chanina Chama Chazil Ella Rav Dzakfu Bedikla. So the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Chanina had inside information. His inside information came to him via a dream. Rabbi Chanina had a dream and he saw Rav being hung on a palm tree. Now, from a dream standpoint, that's a good thing. When you are hung on a palm tree, so it is a simon, and the Gemara explains the simon. The Gemir, we have a tradition to hold the Zakfu Bedikla Reisha Hava. That if you're hung on a palm tree, that means that's in a dream, obviously. So that's a simon that's going to forecast that you're going to become a leader, a Jewish leader. And Rabbi Chanina had the following problem. Amar Shmamina Baila Mevri Rishusto. So Rabbi Chanina says he's going to become the leader of the generation. And as Rashi explains right here, Rabbi Chanina was the current leader. So Rabbi Chanina was having a significant problem now with Rav. It's a logistic issue. Rav is going to become the leader, and meanwhile I'm the leader, so that means I'm not going to last much longer. So what I'll try to do is I'll try to get Rav to move to a different community. So that, because the dream is a nevuah, the dream is going to come true. This is Aliba de Rabbi Chanina. So, but if he moves to another community, he'll become the leader of that other community, and I can live a little bit longer. So the Gemara says, "V'lo efayis kehechadolayz of legmar raisa bebavel." And so what Rabbi Chanina does is he refused to accept the forgiveness of Rav. 13 years consecutively, Rav tried. Rav was unsuccessful. Rav says, "Okay, I can't. I'm not. It's not working here." So he picks himself up and he moves to Bavel. And as the old newscaster said, that now you know the rest of the story. So that's how Rav found his way to Bavel. And we're going to see stories throughout Shas of Rav in his first years in Bavel and some of the strange things that he saw in Bavel. But the Gemara over here is the impetus for how come Rav moved from Eretz Yisrael and went to Bavel. Tana Rabbanan, mitzvahs vidu erev Yom HaKippurim chashecha. Okay. Now we talk about vidu in conjunction with Yom HaKippurim, meaning, as we pointed out, you could do tshuva anytime you want. Tshuva is a mitzvah without real time. No zman grama. There is no time constraint on tshuva, but there's a time where it's most effective and it's most auspicious to do tshuva, and that of course is on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Zman Tahara, Zman Kapara, right? When we had a Beis HaMikdash, where the Avodah was done, essentially to serve as a Kapara for the Jewish people. So stands the Beis HaMikdash, so we have now Tshuva. So Tshuva provides for us that Kapara. So, but of course we need to do Vidui, we need to confess our sins. Vidui is part of the process of Tshuva. In fact, often spoken about, the Rambam, when he talks about the mitzvah of Tshuva, actually doesn't describe Tshuva as being the mitzvah, but the Rambam describes Vidui as being the mitzvah. Fine. So Yom Kippur, so now again, mind you, Vidui could be done at any point during the year. But again, Yom Kippur, it's just simply an auspicious time. So here, there is an institution to say Vidui on Yom Kippur, and that's what we'll be discussing pretty much for the rest of the Masechta. Tana Rabbana mitzvahs vidui erev Yom Kippur mechashecha v'amru chachamim. So really, the time to say vidui is what we call kol nidre, meaning night of. Night of Yom Kippur, that's the time to start with the vidui. However, we have a practice, and it's based on this gemara right here, which is v'amru chachamim yizvadun kam shiyachav yishta shemeti tarif da'ato besuda. But what you should do is you should say vidui before Yisudah Mafsekis, which is exactly what we do. You go to Mincha on Erev Yom Kippur, and what happens? You say Vidui. Now, why? So the Gemara's language is Shemati Taref Tato. Now, if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, because there's that possibility that at the meal, Yisudah Mafsekis, you're going to drink a lot, and you're going to get drunk. And you won't... drinking obviously has been a problem for a long time, historically, as far back as we know, but in the good old days, in the Bizman HaGemara, so every meal had wine involved in it. So it's possible. They always run that risk of getting drunk. So and then what's going to happen then is you're going to come to Shul on Yom Kippur, or you won't come to Shul on Yom Kippur, but simply you won't be, you'll be too inebriated, and you won't say Vidui.
Isn't this like similar to a korban that's offered before its time? If you do it, it's not Yom Kippur yet. So you're doing it prophylactically, but it's like if you offer korban in the morning, you know.
Right. The Rambam writes. To tell you the truth, the Rambam has a slightly different understanding of why it is that we do vidui at mincha. I don't know what he does with the language of the Gemara. The language of the Gemara here is more like Rashi, but the Rambam says we're afraid that during that last meal he's going to choke and die. It's going to choke on something and die. And
that's his kapara.
Yeah. Okay. And again, your question still is I think very relevant. But it's not Yom Kippur. Okay. The Alpha Pishay Svad, the Karnam Shach, Vishasam Svad, Lacha Shiach of Ishta. Shemir Davar Kakala Basuda. Now you said Vidui. Now you're in Yom Kippur. So why would you say Vidui again? So the Gemara says, because you had an opportunity to do Chait. You're at the meal, so you have great opportunity to say Lashon Hara. There are going to be other people at the meal. Maybe you benched without Kavana. Maybe you didn't bench, meaning a lot could go wrong during the course of one meal. Okay. Now, you said Vidu and Mariv, so shouldn't you be good for the rest of Yom Kippur? So the Brisa says no. Say Vidu again during Shachris. You say, right, Shachris, Yisvada b'Musaf. B'Musaf, Yisvada b'Mincha. B'Mincha, Yisvada b'Ne'ila. And then, you know what, while you're at it, every time you daven Yom Kippur, we know there are not three tefillahs, not four tefillahs, but there are five tefillahs in Yom Kippur, because there's Ne'ilah, in addition to Musaf. So then what you're going to do is you're going to be saying Vidui during all five davenings. V'heichen Omro. Now where do you insert Vidui in the Shemoneh Esrei? Heichen Omro, Yachid Achar Tefillah Sof V'Shlech Sibra Omro B'Emsa. So an individual inserts it after Shemoneh Esrei. The Tzibor, when the Shlech Sibra repeats the Shemoneh Esrei, so Vidui is inserted in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So fundamental difference in terms of the insertion of Vidui, Bein LeYachid, Bein LeRabim. Once again, I highly recommend the Rav Sefer Al HaTshuva, where he describes and he discusses why the distinction between the Tzibor versus the Yachid. Okay, it's important reading. So Omra Be'emtza, my Amar. So what exactly is the, what do you say? What's the Nusach? So as we've discussed many times, Nusach of Tefillah, for Shemoneh Esrei, that was put together by Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So that's pretty uniform. Although you'll find amongst the various Jewish communities, Ashkenaz, Sfard, there are going to be minor discrepancies between them, but just in terms of the outline, it's the same. Fine. So but in terms of the Nusach for Yom Kippur, so as we're going to see right now in the Gemara, various Amoraim had various Nihugim, in terms of what the nusach of Vidui should be on Yom Kippur. And what do? Basically, we make a conglomerate. We make an amalgamation of all the different opinions in the Gemara. We put it together, and basically that's how we get to our nusach of tefillah on Yom Kippur. Amar Rav Atayudei Razi Olam. So if you recognize it, good, and if not, so right, take the Gemara together with you into Yom Kippur and see where everyone's nusach begins and ends. Shmuel Amar Mimake Halev. I'll be honest with you, this one we don't have. Right, this is a nusach of vidui, which didn't make it into the siddur, into the machzor. You can only speculate why. Levi Amar v'sor secha kasev lemor. Rav Yochanan Amar ribono olamim. Rav Yehuda Amar ki avnasin rabo milam nusach chatenu atzmo misaper. Rav Hamanuna Amar l'kai shalom nitzarti and eni chadai. Achshu shenotzarti yilo nitzarti afarani bechaya kavachomer mimisasi. Harin elufanecha kiklima lebusha chlima yirtzon fanecha shalach ta'od. Right, did I just add that in? Yes, I did. I'm going on autopilot now. Shalom echatel mashachatasim rok barachamecha v'loyidi yisurin. Okay, you'll forgive me. I'm not going to translate now. I apologize. Open up a machzor, see it inside. You'll see the translation. V'hainu viduya derava kulashata. Now, Rava would say such a vidui year round, meaning he would use that nusach not just on Yom Kippur, but he would use it year round. Udrav Hamnuna zuta b'yom tikipur. Now, Rav Hamnuna would use that nusach on Yom Kippur. Amar mazuch lo amar nela delo amar aval nachtu chatanu. All these nuschaos are critical if you didn't say aval anachnu chatanu. Aval amar aval anachnu chatanu. But if you say the nusach aval anachnu chatanu, that is the core of vidui. And all the other nuschaos, say it, not say it, but the aval anachnu chatanu is the key line of vidui. Sulo tzarech. And the Gemara says, you don't have to say the other nuschaos if you say aval anachnu chatanu. The Amar Bar Hamaduri have a kaim nakami to Shmuel. So I was standing once in front of Shmuel. V'have a Yosiv, and he was sitting in Shul. V'chimata shlichad de tzibur v'amar aval nachnu chatanu. But when the shlich tzibur got to the words aval nachnu chatanu, come may come. Shmuel got up, meaning vidui. Vidui is a mitzvah. You stand for a mitzvah. So Shmuel got up. But what the Gemara wants to note is that Shmuel stood up for the line of aval nachnu chatanu, because that's the key line of vidui. So he got the point. Meaning, if I'm seeing Shmuel stand up for that line, that's got to be the key line of vidui. Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Tanis. We will see this Mishnah shortly enough in the Daf. So Tanan Hasam, v'shlosha brakim mishana kohanim nosim eskapem arba pa'amim bayom. There are three times a year where the Kohen is going to duchen. He's going to bench the Jewish people. And three times in the year, the Kohen's going to do it, four times. B'shachar is most of Mincha v'ne'ila, Sha'arim. V'eila and Shosha Prakim, and the three times are Tanis, Ma'amados, and Yom Kippur. Fasdays, Ma'amados, that's when a segment of the Jewish people were selected to basically represent the Jewish people during the Avodah. Not that they're going to do the Avodah, that's the job of the Kohanim and the Leviim, but they're basically going to act as representatives. It's during that week where they serve as representatives. They're fasting during that week. This is what's called the Ma'amados. And basically, so they're fasting. So now, given that you're fasting on these days, on Tanis, on Ma'amados, and Yom Kippur, so obviously now, every time you daven, you're going to duchen. Well, meaning, let me take one step backwards. Why don't we duchen after Shacharis? Well, first of all, a larger question for the Ashkenazim is, why don't we duchen at all? Okay. That's not an easy question to answer.
You're unhappy.
Yeah, okay. That's what the Rama writes, because we're not happy people. But okay, the Gaon was so against this Ashkenazic minhag of not duchening. The Gaon wanted to bring it back, and the Gaon had a little bit of success. The Vilna Gaon, his students who went to Israel, so they at least brought it back for the Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael. You go to Eretz Yisrael, and every shul you daven it, Ashkenaz Sfarz, so they're going to be duchening every day. That's the influence of the Gaon. That's the influence of the Vilna Gaon. But for the rest of us Ashkenazim living outside of Eretz Yisrael, so we don't duchen. Okay, that's we have our issues. Right? Okay. Well, what can I tell you? Yeah. Okay. But anyway. sorry about that. Now's not the time to make light. We're behind. But okay, but why don't we duchen after Shacharis? Meaning, okay, so we duchen Shacharis. But okay, but Mincha, why don't we duchen? And the answer is, and it's kind of been a little bit of a theme today, is because after Shacharis, so you get to eat, and once you're eating, so then you can drink, and the Kohen might be drinking a little too much, and he can't duchen while he's drunk, and so that's why duchening has been removed after Shacharis. But if you know you're not going to be eating, so then duchen, which is, of course, that's the minhag. The minhag is on a day you're not eating, so you duchen Shacharis, you duchen Musaf, if there's a Musaf, you duchen during Mincha, and if there's Ne'ilah, you'll duchen during Ne'ilah as well. Good. So on these three occasions where we know there's no problem, the Kohen's not going to be drinking because no one's eating and drinking. So then you duchen the entire day. So and now they are Tanis Mamaz Yom Kippurim. So on these days there's going to be duchening on the day, meaning obviously not the night. There's a Marira obviously the night prior, but duchening is going to occur during the four tefillas of the day of these days. Okay. So the Gemara asks a simple question, a straightforward question, and that is, what is Ne'ilah? Meaning that on Yom Kippur, we just kind of mentioned by way of a side that there's Ne'ilah. What is that? My Ne'ilah Sharim? Rav Amar Tzusi Yisei Rasa. So Rav says it's actually an additional Shmona Esrei. Okay, we knew that, but again, we know that based on our practice. Now we see the Gemara. So, Tzusi Yisei Shmuel Amar Manu Machayenu. And Shmuel says, no, it's more Nusach. But it's not an additional Shemona Esrei. Okay. Meisvei. Gemara challenges. And the Gemara now is going to, basically, after all said and done, support the position of Rav. Meisvei. And this is going to take us basically to the end of today's daf, essentially. Or Yom Kippur, Mesval Sheva, Mesvada. So the night of Yom Kippur. Remember that lashon we saw back in Pesachim, first day? So, or Yom Kippur, Mispal Sheva Mizvada. B'Shachris, Mispal Sheva Mizvada. B'Musaf, Mispal Sheva Mizvada. B'Mincha, Mispal Sheva Mizvada. B'Ne'ilah, Mispal Sheva Mizvada. Okay, so, Ne'ilah, what do? The Brisa couldn't say it any clearer. You daven Shemona Esrei. Again, what we call, it's not Shemona Esrei, but you understand. Meaning it's Tefillah. It's Amidah. Okay, so good. So tonight, so the Gemara says, okay, so what we'll have to do in order to defend the position of Shmuel, because this price is very clear, is maybe we'll say it's a machlokas tanaim. Titanya mekipur mincha shechem mispal sheva mizvada. Vechotim evidu divrei Rabbi Meir. Vechachamim omrim mispal sheva. Veimratz alachtom bevidui chotem. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa says that on Ne'ilah, you say Amida. And the only discrepancy in the Braisa is, what's the chasima? How do you end your vidui? Do you end with a bracha? Do you not end with a bracha? It's a machlok between Rameh and the Chachamim. But anyway, but again, the Braisa sounds like we're going to be, that Ne'ilah is Ishmon Esrei, it's Amida. Tiyufta d'shmul tiyufta. So the Gemara says, you know what? Problematic. Meaning Shmuel's position is just simply not accepted. Okay. Ula barav nach is kamed derava. Ula barav descends in front of Rava, right? We saw this formulation often in Masechta Brachos. When you daven for the Amud, so there's a pit and you go into the pit. Most shuls don't operate this way. Most shuls are not constructed in such a manner. I saw over my lifetime a couple of shuls like that. But anyway, and why? Why the pit? Mimamakim karasich Hashem. Right, I call up to Kadosh Baruch Hu from the depths. But anyway, so this particular Amara gets in front of the davens for the Amun in front of Rav. And now I've quipped before that often these stories don't end well, because usually a correction comes about, meaning you didn't daven well. So here is going to be an exception to the rule. So come to Rav, pasach ba'ata berchatan v'siyam b'ma'na ma'chenu v'shavchei. So he starts off with a tavir chartanu, meaning that's the bracha emtsais, the bracha of the kedushat hayom, and he then transitions into ma'anu ma'chayenu, into vidui, and Rava says beautiful. Ravuna b'reid Rav Nasan Amar v'yachin omra achat tefilaso, and an individual says the vidui after tefillah, which is what we recorded earlier in the Gemara as well. Amrav tefillah nila poteres shel arvis. Now, you daven Ne'ilah. Rav says you don't have to daven Ma'ariv. Okay, right? One of the questions that I often hear that's put into drush is how can we say the Sachlanu Avinu in the Maariv after Yom Kippur? Meaning, what are we asking for forgiveness for? We just went through a day of Yom Kippur. And so an answer, which is sometimes said honestly and sometimes said in jest, is, well, in other words, the rate of our Shemona Esrei and Maariv after Yom Kippur deserves we need to ask for forgiveness because we're basically flying through it in our desire to get home. But anyway, but Rav's opinion is that you don't have to say Maariv on the night after Yom Kippur because Ne'ilah. And Ne'ilah basically covers it. So Tfilas Ne'ilah is Poteres Shel Arvis. So Rav L'tamid Amar Tzlusa Yaserahi. So first of all, the Gemara will note the consistency of Rav. Because Rav said just a moment ago that Ne'ilah is an additional Amida. Fine. The Kevin Desaleh Sulo Tzarech. And so now it's an additional Amida. So now, the night after Yom Kippur. So basically, you're davening Shemona Esrei, you're doing an Amida. So it'll cover. It'll cover the Yom Kippur, and it'll cover your Maariv as well. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm bothered by a simple question. Go back to the Gemara in Brachos. Basic machlokas in the Gemara Brachos, whether we're obligated to daven Maariv or not. And Rav was of the opinion that we're not obligated and tefillas Maariv is a reshus. Okay, and as we pointed out a number of times, the halacha falls like Rav, but the Rambam writes that we, the Jewish people, have accepted upon ourselves to daven Maariv, so it's a Kabbalah. So we have accepted upon ourselves, even though me'ikra din, Maariv is a reshus. But anyway, but over here, I'm bothered. Ne'ilah, says Rav, is going to pater your Maariv. What do you need to pater Maariv for? It's not even obligated, according to Rav. So the divrei omer chovah kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? You're right. For his own position, you don't even need to daven Maariv. But to satisfy those who say that Maariv is obligated, Nilo will cover it. Mezer, the Gemara challenges, or Yom Kippur, Mitzvah Sheva, Mitzvah Shachri, Sheva, Mitzvah Musaf, Sheva, Mitzvah Mini'ila, Mitzvah Sheva, O Mitzvah De. Arvis, Mitzvah Sheva, Me'ein Shmona Esrei. Now, this Braisa punctuates by saying that the Maariv after Yom Kippur, and obviously, after Ne'ilah, so you say some sort of abridged Shemona Esrei, and a Tefillah Katsara, right? And then, that's it. But another, and wait, I'm sorry, just one more line. And Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel, Mishum Avazin, Mispal Shemona Esrei, Shleimos, Mineshet Tzarech Lamar, Havdalah B'chonin Adas. And according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, so no, you don't skimp on your Maariv after Yom Kippur. You say the full Maariv. Why? Because you have to say Atachon Antanu, which is inserted into the bracha of Atachonin, and you can't consolidate and condense it into a Tefillah Katsara. But either way, okay, fine. In other words, the machlokas of what Maariv looks like after Yom Kippur. But it's clear from this brisa that there is Maariv after Yom Kippur. So this reflects the difficulty on Rav, because Rav says that when you're finished with Yom Kippur and you daven Ne'ilah, you're good. You can go home. Because Ne'ilah will basically cover your Maariv requirement. So the Gemara says, Tanahi, we're on the top of Peches Amad Aleph, and the Gemara says, whether or not you need to daven Maariv after Yom Kippur, whether Ne'ilah could substitute your Maariv, or there's a requirement to daven Maariv after Ne'ilah, is subject to a machlokas Tanaim. Now it's true, by the way, I mentioned earlier this morning, the Gemara could have just simply said that Rav is a Tana, Rav argues on the Braisa, but the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. Ditanya. We learned in a Braisa called Chayvei Tefillos Tovlin Kedarkan B'Yom HaKippurim. You're obligated to Tovel, so you'll Tovel on Yom Kippur. Now let me just give one quick, brief introduction to the requirement to Tovel on Yom Kippur. Why are we Toveling on Yom Kippur? Meaning, we know we're not allowed to bathe on Yom Kippur, but that's not really an issue, because as we mentioned already in the beginning of this perek, bathing is only problematic, it's only an Isser, I should say, if it's Tanuk, if it's for the purposes of washing and enjoying. But if you're going to the mikvah because it's a mitzvah, so that's fine. So that's not the issue. But quite frankly, why in other words, you become Tum in Yom Kippur, so you need to Tovel in the mikvah? I mean, let's be honest with each other, it's really not going to help, because most of your tumas require tefillah and Harav Shemesh. So you're not going to really be tar until the evening. So what's going on over here? So we go back to a Gemara and Brachos that we did together. And the Gemara and Brachos, what was it? Chav Beis and Brachos? Chafal of Chav Beis. The Gemara over there says that one of the institutions of Ezra is that if you're going to learn Torah, if you're going to daven, so you have to tovel in the mikvah. Okay? And there's reasons for that, and not for now. And okay, so in other words, Takanas Ezra, that you, if you want to continue davening and learning, so you have to tov on the mikvah. So here on Yom Kippur, you have a. In other words, you want, and what happens at Takanas Ezra? So the Gemara Bracha says, and that's the halacha, is that we don't follow the practice of Takanas Ezra. Okay, meticulous people tov on the mikvah every day, but. That's a mala. They take them upon themselves. But meikar adin, though, we don't follow Takanas Ezra anymore. Fine, but in the meantime, however, bizman Takanas Ezra. So if your tamei said you'd like to do is you would like to be able to daven more on Yom Kippur. So what do? You run to the mikvah. Now, to be fair and honest, right? I'm just gonna one issue to take into consideration. Takanas Ezra was only for a Baal Keri. Only for a man who had a seminal mission. So it wasn't for the other tumas. And so it's a little bit problematic because over here in this brisa, we're going to be discussing all forms of tuma, and that does present a small issue. And okay, that's something to take into consideration. We go on, we're on the top of Pechas HaManaf Tanah, Yiditanya Kol Chayav Tefillos, Tovlin Kedarkam Yom HaKippurim. Anyone who needs a tovel will tovel and do so on Yom Kippur. Nida Yolad is tovelin kedarkam b'layla. So Anita and Yolad is who have the practice of toveling at night. And so b'layla Yom Kippur and Balkari tovel v'holech ad amincha. And a Balkari can tovel the entire day of Yom Kippur if he becomes a Balkari at any point during the day of Yom Kippur, and even late Yom Kippur afternoon. And he tovels, sure, Rabbi and he tovels up until mincha. But after Mincha, he doesn't need to tovel anymore. Rabbi Yosi Omer, kol hayom kulo. And Rabbi Yosi says, no, he tovels the entire day. Or imenu. So basically now what we have is a machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi in terms of, do I need to tovel for Ne'ila? Now what's going on over here? Presumably, and this is what the Gemara is now suggesting, presumably what's going on is that there's the machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi is, when do we daven Ne'ila? The Tanakama will tell you you're davening Ne'ila basically while still daytime. And Rabbi Yosi says that you're davening Ne'ila basically while it's still daytime. And so therefore, if you need to tovel the mikvah so that you can daven Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, or even Ne'ila, you'll tovel. Which means that basically, according to Rabbi Yosi, Ne'ila said during the day. Masha Einkein, according to the Tanakama, you only tovel up until Mincha, but once you daven Mincha, you're good. Well, what about Ne'ila? No, Ne'ila said at night. Good. Now that we're here, now we understand that this now turns into the Machlokas Tanayim, and one of these opinions is going to now be in accordance with Rav. Why? Because Rav says, once you daven Ne'ila, you don't have to daven Ma'ariv. Oh, so in other words, so Rav basically is now going in conjunction with the Tanakama, who says that Ne'ila is daven that night. Fine. Or remain with the Gemara challenges. Azava, mitzarva, mitzarasabal, need of a tamim, meis tovlin kedarkan, but yomaki porim, all these various people who are tamei, tovel on Yom Kippur, nida yola is tovel in kedarkan b'leila Yom Kippur, balkeri tovel v'holech kol ayom kulo, the balkeri tovels the entire day, Rav Yosi omer, min amincha ulamala in yachol litbol. And Rav Yosi says from mincha onward he doesn't tovel. So now the only problem is that this brisa, put this brisa up against the previous brisa we just learned, and we just turned ourselves on our head. The Tanakama is Rav Yosi, and Rav Yosi is the Tanakama. What just happened? Lokasha hadetzali tefillin ila hadolotzali. So the Gemara says, oh, Joe, well, no. Over here, it's just a question of whether or not you daven ne'ila or you didn't daven ne'ila. So my time is the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So you daven ne'ila, and the Chachamim said, if you need to tovel, you'll still tovel. Why? Meaning, Yom Kippur now, it's still Yom Kippur. I daven ne'ila already, and the Tanakhama says, well, if you need to tovel, go run and tovel. Why? I don't need to daven anymore. And if it's a question of davening later, so I'll wait till nighttime. Why would I be toveling on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, Kasev Rabban Tfilah Bezmana Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, well, this takes us to another issue, which we've discussed in back in Masech Tanida at length, and that is that if you have an obligation to tovel, can you delay the tefillah? Or is there an extra mitzvah, or part of the mitzvah of tefillah is to tovel in the mikvah at the appropriate time? So what the Gemara is now arguing on behalf of the Tanakhama of the more recent brisa is that what you'll do is that even if you daven Ne'ilah already on Yom Kippur, and for whatever reason you need to tell from the mikvah, go. It's still Yom Kippur. What are you doing? Tefillah b'zmana mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to daven in the right time. So mechalad Rav Yossi sever lava mitzvah. So now the Gemara says, fine. But now what you're doing is that you're pitting Rav Yossi against the Tanna Kamma. And now you're saying that Rav Yossi is of the opinion that tefillah b'zmana is not a mitzvah. The Gemara says, v'atanya. But we know otherwise. Now, Reisha Yashem Kasavah B'saro, a braisa that we saw in the beginning of the Masechta, where for whatever reason, the Kadosh Baruch Hu's name is written on your skin. And how is it lo yirchas, v'lo yasach, v'lo yamid, b'malcha matin alfos. And you can't bathe that area because then you're erasing Shem Hashem. And that's an issue in the Torah to erase Shem Hashem. Nizdam no tefillah mitzvah. So, and what if you have to tovel in the mikvah? What are you going to do? Karech alav gemi v'yard v'tovel. So you wrap yourself up in a gemi and some sort of plaster or whatever. In other words, wrap it up and tovel in the mikvah. And what about a chatzitza? The Gemara Uri asked the question anyway. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, yard v'tovel kedarko. And Rabbi Yossi says, what are you doing? Just go right into the mikvah, tovel. Don't rub the area. If the name of Hashem is erased on its own, fine, but that's not biyadayim. You didn't do it actively. You run to the mikvah. Now, what's the issue? The kaimalan. The Gemara says, now we've done this braisa before, and we've established the issue is that tefillah b'zmana mitzvah pligi. They're arguing whether you should tovel in the right time. Where Rav Yossi says, tovel now. Oh, what about the Shem Hashem? What about going and running and get a bandage? Don't waste your time. You need to tovel right now? You go right now. And the Tanna Kamma says, no, waste your time. Don't wait, not waste. Sorry, wrong word. Poor word choice. Right. In other words, the Tanna Kamma will say, delay. Go get a bandage. Go. In other words, you may not get it in the right time. Okay, that's fine. So the Gemara now which has just presented a problem. Rav Yossi in this most recent braisa is of the opinion that tefillah b'zmana is a mitzvah. In the previous braisa, Rav Yossi says that tefillah b'zmana is not a mitzvah. So the Gemara answers, the Gemara deflects, not an elegant answer, but an answer. Hahi Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda hi. So the Gemara says the previous braisa was Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. Detan Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda Omer Dayel Tefillah Shetei Bachrona. Where Rav Yossi is of the opinion that if you have compounded reasons for toveling, the Gemara over here is referencing the Gemara Nida and Daf Lamed. Easily, arguably, one of the most difficult sugyas in Shas, where the Gemara over there has a whole scenario where a woman required to tovel in the mikvah for various reasons, and basically she had compounded obligations to tovel, and basically the Gemara went over an entire schedule that lasted for... if Stuart were here, he would remember. Anyway, 90 days? Or whatever. Okay. But anyway, it was like basically a series of right, 11, 13 weeks? Okay. I should remember these things. Anyway, but there was a whole list of, there was a compound reasons for toveling in the mikvah, and Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda over there says, you know what she'll do? Wait. Wait till the last day and tovel. What about all those missed opportunities? The Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says, no. In other words, because that last tefillah will cover everything. What about tefillah b'zmana? Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says, it's not a mitzvah. So the Gemara says that the previous braisa, not the most recent one, but the previous braisa, is going like Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, not the standard Rav Yossi. Okay, good. Where do we? We'll stop here. The rest of the Masechta will finish up at our Siyum this evening. So today we finished up some of the points of tshuva ben adam l'malkum ben adam l'chavero, a big topic for today, making appeasement, making reconciliation with your chaver when you wronged him, and then for the rest of the daf today we talked about Vidui on Yom Kippur. It's insertion into Shmona Esrei, discrepancy between Vidui Shal Yachid versus Tfil Shal Tzibur, the mitzvah of Ne'ila, what is Ne'ila, Machlokas Amarayim between Rav and Shmuel, Halacha falls like Rav, Ne'ila is an Amida in of itself, when is the appropriate time to daven Ne'ila, that was another Machlokas which we just saw, whether Ne'ila could substitute for Yamariv. Another machlokas, a lot, and I know I went through it quickly. I apologize. That's just the nature of daf. But a lot of basic machloksim regarding the vidui and Yom Kippur.